Hi there, Workplace Warriors. I'm Dave Lorenzo. You've only got 60 seconds to make a first impression, and I've got half that time to convince you to come with me to the place to be. It's the place you know that will make your wallet grow. It is the 60-second sales show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the 60-Second Sales Show. I'm your host, Dave Lorenzo. And today, I thought we'd start off with a great question from one of our listeners. And the question we're going to get today is, it's something that comes up all the time. And I'll explain why in a moment. Before we do that, I want to make sure that I introduce you to our fantastic, talented producer, Nancy Pop. Hi, Nancy. How are you today?
Hi, Dave. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. So, Nancy, why don't you read the question? Actually, you and I discussed the question before we came on the air. This is a question that I got from Jackie on Twitter, and it's a question about social media. So why don't you go ahead and read us the question, and then we can have a conversation about it and talk a little bit more about how to leverage exactly what Jackie's talking about.
Yes. So I think Jackie had a really great question. A lot of people today will really benefit from hearing what you have to say. And her question is, how do I make best use of social media for selling my product? I have hundreds of people following me and connected to me on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, but I can never get them to buy anything.
Right. And you mentioned we started to have a conversation about this, and I said, no, let's save it for the show because this could be better information that we could share with our, this would be great information that we could share with our viewers, better use would be sharing it with our viewers, so our listeners. So go ahead and tell me what we were talking about before we started the show today. You were saying.
Yes. So what I was saying was I have a lot of friends or a lot of people that I've worked with in the past. They're all trying to develop their lifestyle brand, whether it's through Instagram or Twitter, or their Facebook page has thousands of followers, and they just don't, maybe they're not good salesmen, or maybe they just don't know how to utilize social media to get the most out of it, but they're having such a hard time redirecting people to their website or redirecting people to their sales or to their services or whatever it is they're trying to do. And maybe it's a problem with the content they're putting up. Maybe it's a problem with just, I don't know. They're just having problems doing it. It's such a big problem for them.
Yeah. And this is, I understand completely what you're talking about. And this is something that, just like Jackie said, like you're saying now, I hear all the time. So people go out and they connect with hundreds, dozens, thousands, tens of thousands of people on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever the social media platform du jour is, or the social media platform that's the most desirable platform for your target audience. And you feel like you're putting out great information, but there's no response in terms of converting people from folks who are just out there doing what appears to be lurking into converting them into sales. So what do you do? And this question baffled me for, I want to say probably, I got to say the better part of 10 years. I'll give you my history on Twitter, for example. I was one of the early adopters of Twitter. I loved Twitter. And I'll give you a couple of examples of great relationships that I've developed through using Twitter. My original Twitter handle was DLorenzo, D-L-O-R-E-N-Z-O. And after a few years, I started using Twitter in 2007, and really got into it in 2008. And I had built my followers up to about, I guess it was about 10,000. And then at one point, I felt this same frustration, Nancy, you were discussing, the same frustration that Jackie shared with us on Twitter in her question. And I just abandoned it for 2 years. And the reason I did was because I felt like I was putting so much energy and so much effort into it by sharing great information. I wasn't getting anything out of it. Nobody was, well, people were going to my website, they were reading articles, but nobody was calling me up saying, hey, I found you on Twitter and I want to give you $100,000, right? So that was the frustration I had. What I didn't understand at the time was that Twitter and social media as a whole isn't about converting people into clients on the spot. In fact, the view that I should have had on social media is the exact same view I have of the 60-second sales process. And, you know, for those of you who are new to the show, my process, the 60-second sales process, is one of developing a relationship with someone that will last a lifetime. I liken it to falling in love at first sight with someone in a business setting. So you take 60 seconds and you sell yourself. You take 60 seconds and develop that relationship. Then the value that you receive over a lifetime is the byproduct. So in social media, I was thinking to myself, particularly on Twitter, I was thinking of that as like a one-night stand, right? And that's the way a lot of people think of sales. Oh, I'm going to go on Twitter. I'm going to put out a bunch of content for a week, and people are going to come to me and want to spend money with me. They're going to love me so much right away, they're going to want to go home with me right now, tonight. And that's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way in business for sales, and it doesn't work that way on social media. So here's the conclusion that I've come to that I know now from my own experience and from the experience that I've seen my clients have. Here's the conclusion that I've come to with social media, and it's the same conclusion that I've come to with sales. And that is that it's not enough just to put out great content. It's not enough just to put out great information. You can't be out there on send all the time and not develop relationships with people. It would be better for you to have 10 real relationships on Instagram, 10 on Twitter, 10 on Facebook, 10 on Snapchat, give and take relationships where you can have conversations, exchange information, deliver value to one another, build that up first over time, have 10 of those that you can count on for the long term. And then when you ask them to buy something, they will actually buy. It would be better to have 10 of those than 100,000 people who you can send out great information to, and they'll read it, they'll consume it, they'll eat up whatever chum you're throwing out there, but they're never going to provide any value back to you in return because you don't have a relationship with them. You know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, they're like going to a cocktail party. You go to the party and you meet some people, you hang out, you have a conversation, and you know what? Friendship may or may not develop depending upon what you have in common and the value you can bring to one another, the value you can deliver to each other's lives. So if you're not out there having conversations, exchanging value, developing relationships, you can expect that you'll get exactly what you're delivering from social media. And that's nothing. You're delivering to social media, nothing. You may be delivering a ton of value, but you're not listening to what the people actually want. So what does this mean for you and for marketing? Well, I'll give you some thoughts on that in just a moment. So, Nancy, let's get back to the folks who are, you know, developing lifestyle brands. There's a couple of things in there that I think are worth exploring. You know, you mentioned those two words, you know, lifestyle and brand. The first thing, you know, I think we should talk about is the lifestyle element as a whole. When you say a lifestyle brand, what does that exactly mean?
Oh, it can mean several things. I mean, the way that social media is evolving now, you see people that are developing entire careers off of Instagram, you know, whether it's some girl that's just posting sexy photos of herself and suddenly she's bringing in $80,000 a year by being sponsored by T or Nike or whatever, you know. People are making entire careers out of it. Or it can be someone that is launching their own yoga company, and so now they're blogging, they're doing what you're doing, they're podcasting, they're putting out videos, you know, and they're selling their personal training. People find ways now, especially millennials, they're taking so much advantage of social media and they're figuring out new ways to use it for their benefit. People are developing these careers through photos or just blogging, you know, the simplest things that we would think it's so easy, but it takes a lot of work, you know, it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of ambition.
I agree. I think there's a whole host of things that you just covered in there. And some of them I think are fantastic, and others, I think in some ways they might have caught lightning in a bottle. So there's three elements to any good positioning, marketing, or sales campaign. The three elements, and we can address exactly what you're talking about under the umbrella of these three elements. So the three elements are visibility, credibility, and differentiation. So when we talk about the folks that you just mentioned, so let's take, first and foremost, let's take somebody who's looking to get sponsorships, okay? So you look for visibility and you say to yourself, okay, I want to be sponsored by, you know, Nike because I'm gonna be able to attract 100,000 followers on Instagram. And this is going to be valuable. It's going to be incredibly valuable if I attract 100,000 followers on Instagram. Nike is going to want to, they're going to want to connect with me. They're going to want to sponsor me because they're going to want my 100,000 followers to put their eyeballs on Nike's website. Or when Nike makes an offer, they're going to want my 100,000 followers to see that offer because they know that they'll convert 1% of those people and they'll be thrilled with that 1% conversion. So, you know, that for me is a visibility play. And if you have what it takes to develop 100,000 real, legitimate, responsive followers, then sure, I think that that makes complete and total sense. But for most of us who are in a business setting, you have a business that actually sells products or services, you're not out there looking to just simply drive sponsorships. Your purpose in life with visibility is to be able to go out and attract people who be interested in what you have to say. So those people out there who come and connect with you on Instagram or on Facebook or on Twitter, they're suspects. They're people you suspect might want to do business with you someday, but you don't know that they're prospects, and that's a person who's qualified. They have money, they have a problem you can solve, and they have the ability to make a decision on whether or not they'll hire you or buy your product, right? You don't know if they're ever going to be prospects. And that's the challenge of social media today. So you develop all these followers, and now I have something like, you know, rebuilt my Twitter following to like 8,500 people following me on Twitter, which is okay. I mean, I guess it's better than the average person, but it's nowhere near what successful business people have who really focus on Twitter have. And I have over 9,000, 9,500 people connected to me on Instagram, 30,000 plus on LinkedIn and Facebook between, you know, combining all my pages, 2,000 or 3,000 people. So those people who are out there on my social media sites, for me, I focus on having conversations, real conversations with them, understanding what they're thinking. And this is a huge value that social media provides. I can get inside their heads, understand what they're thinking, see how they make feel and hear how they make decisions. And then I can use that information to reach them and people like them in a way that will resonate with them. So for me, the smaller numbers, well, I'd love to have huge numbers, the smaller numbers enable me to have a more intimate relationship with the followers I have, with the people to whom I'm connected, so that I can understand what process they go through when they buy products or when they buy my services. And this will help me craft better offers to them. And that's what social media is all about. It expands the universe that not only we're visible to, but also that we can have legitimate, real conversations with and understand how they think. And that's, I think, one of the things that's always been missing from the sales process. We go out there, and when I say we, it's the royal we. It's all of us as professionals who are entrepreneurs, who are business people, and we try and sell our services. And we sell our services based on the value we think we can provide to other people. But we don't really know if there's a value that's a byproduct of the service that we're providing that we're completely missing out on. And what I'll give you an example. A friend of mine wanted to stop smoking. She had smoked for her entire adult life. And if you've ever met someone who's in their 30s who wants to stop smoking or even older, it's very, very difficult. Your body becomes addicted to nicotine very quickly. And that addiction is strong. I think, you know, these days, as people have grown up with a culture that is not accepting of smoking anymore, fewer and fewer people start smoking in their teenage years and continue through their adult years. But my friend had smoked her entire, from probably the age of 16 in high school up until the point where she was 33 and she wanted to quit. So she told her doctor during her physical that she wanted to quit, and the doctor was thrilled. And the doctor said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to put you on an antidepressant product which suppresses the urge to smoke. It's a product called Wellbutrin, and they give it to people who are prone to depression, and it's a breakthrough product in that area, but it has an off-label use. And the off-label use is that it suppresses the desire to smoke. And this worked phenomenally well for my friend. She was able to wean herself off the medication after a while, and she's been able to quit smoking. My point is that all of our services, all of our products have these off-label uses, if you will, these unintended consequences, the unintended value that we provide. And until we talk to our customers, until we talk to our clients, we may not recognize some of that value. Social media provides you with the ability to have those conversations. So if you have a product or you have a service and you know someone or you're connected to someone like the person Nancy mentioned who has 100,000 followers, a great use of your of their sort of sphere of influence, of their visibility, would be for you to send them your product, send them your service, have them discuss it on their social media platform, what they liked, what they didn't like, have them show it in video form, have them post pictures of it so people can see it. The visibility they have on social media, so Nike sponsoring the person that Nancy mentioned, that visibility could be valuable, and people could have conversations about all the different ways they derive value from the product or the service. That is a great use of social media as a tool. So leverage somebody else's visibility if you don't have it so that they can see your product or your service. So now, I know what you're thinking, right? You're out there thinking right now, well, that's great, Dave, if you're manufacturing sneakers like Nike, or you're manufacturing yoga wear like Nike, and people can wear it, other people can look at it, say whether they like it or not. But what if you provide a service? How can you demonstrate that service? Well, I think, Nancy, you also mentioned something about like trainers or yoga instructors. You could do things like before and after, transformational videos, transformational case studies where people start doing yoga today and they're completely inflexible, and you show videos of them and you instructing them. Then over time, every 2 or 3 weeks, we visit this person and see how they're doing, and we show that transformation over time. What does that do for you as a yoga instructor who's building your social media base up and trying to leverage social media? Well, it does a couple of things. It enhances your credibility. Remember, we said visibility, credibility, and differentiation were the three keys in any great sales or marketing campaign. It enhances your credibility because people are seeing an actual transformation take place on social media over time with this person. And it also differentiates you from everyone else who does what you do, because people see you out there in real time helping someone. That's value. That's great value on social media. And it's value whether you're delivering that value for 10 people who are highly engaged, with whom you have a conversational relationship. And it's also great value if it's 100,000 people. So, you know, the value of social media is there from a visibility standpoint, from a credibility standpoint, and from a differentiation standpoint. I'll give you a couple of examples of relationships that I've developed on social media that have become fantastic for me and that I would never have otherwise. Back in 2008, when I was first on Twitter, I met a guy who I started going back and forth with, having, 140 character conversations on Twitter, mostly about football. He was a Miami Dolphins fan. I'm a Jet fan. And about practicing law in Florida. At the time, I was working with a lot of lawyers, and it's very difficult for lawyers to develop business in Florida. He happens to be an ethics lawyer who helps lawyers who get in trouble. So we had those two things in common: football and the practice of law and the ethical way to develop client relationships. We would go back and forth on Twitter, having conversations and discussions, sometimes around articles that would appear in trade journals in the practice of law, sometimes around sports, sometimes just around Miami, the weather, and stupid things that happen here. Well, we developed this connection on Twitter, and at one point he said to me, it might make sense for us to get together for lunch since we both live in Miami. We did. That was 8 years ago, and we've been friends ever since, and we're close friends now. We see each other 2 or 3 times a month for lunch and dinner. Our families are friends. a real genuine friendship has developed, as well as a business relationship. I refer business to him. He refers business to me. We speak at some of the same conferences. That's a relationship that developed strictly based upon social media, based upon Twitter, based upon a connection we made on Twitter. So social media has value, but the value comes in developing the relationships, just like in sales. So we talked about visibility. We talked about developing credibility using social media. Now let's talk about differentiation. And this, for me, is the easiest one. So many of my clients struggle with, hey, Dave, how do I differentiate myself? I don't know what I do that's different than everybody else. Well, remember when you were in kindergarten? When I was in kindergarten, my teacher's name was Mrs. Fitzgerald. And Mrs. Fitzgerald used to tell all of us that we were all unique. We were all like snowflakes. No two of us were the same. We were all different. Now look, that sounds like a bunch of crap, okay? It really does. But it happens to be true, all right? It sounds like, you know, it sounds like a little, you know, a lot of romper room garbage, but it really is true. You're different than I am. Nancy's different than I am. Nancy's different than you are. We're all different. Sharing the way you approach things, sharing your own unique style, your own unique problem-solving ability, your own personality, that will differentiate you. I mean, I'm not kidding myself. There are 100, or if not 1,000 or 10,000 people out there that can sell, that can teach you how to sell stuff. I like my approach, my relationship-based approach. I think my approach is better than any other approach you're going to find out there. But I think the way I bring this information to you is what makes me different. And the way you bring your product or your service to your clients, the way you deliver your value, your own unique style, that's what makes you different. So when you're on social media, be yourself. As we're recording this show, we're like 3 weeks from a presidential election in the United States, and we have a candidate that has been essentially concocted out of reality television and Twitter. Donald Trump. Donald Trump's campaign right now exists, quite frankly, because he has access to 12 million people on Twitter. And of the 12 million, a huge portion of them are media people who need a story to write. They need something to talk about on television. They need something to host a show about on radio. So the fact that they have access to this guy and his stream of consciousness at 3 o'clock in the morning on Twitter makes him valuable to them. He brings his own unique style, and bringing that style is part of his, I guess you'd say, his brand, if you will. And you have the same thing. So when you're on Twitter, you got to let your personality show. When you're on Facebook, you got to let your personality show. When you're sharing stuff on social media, don't try and play it middle of the road. You got to be out there laying it all on the line, being yourself, having an opinion. That's what people really get into. Now, if you're not someone's cup of tea, they'll go away. And guess what? That vacuum will fill with people who you do resonate with. That vacuum will fill with people who want to have a relationship with you. So visibility, credibility, differentiation, those are the three ways you can make use of social media to be more attractive. But at the end of the day, what it's all about is developing relationships, connecting with people, developing relationships, and then gently put out a few offers here and there over time once you've exchanged some value with some people, and you'll find that the offers seem to work better. And the reason is because it's real now. If I just throw a bunch of stuff out there and see what sticks, I'm like everybody else. I'm like McDonald's advertising on TV, right? Throwing up a commercial. If you like the clown with the big red shoes and the nose, you'll do business with me. No, that's not the way social media works. If you want to engage people on social media, you first go out and say, hey, what's on your mind? What's going on? I read this story today. Here's what I think about it. Anybody else think anything about it? Yeah, this is my opinion. This is my opinion. Great. Happy to hear your opinion. Let's exchange. Let's have a conversation. Let's exchange information about this specific topic in this article. You do that a few times, then you've got a relationship. You develop that relationship over time. People want to hear more about you and what you do. Guess what? You're off to the races. That's how you start client relationships. Real life, social media, not much different. It's all about developing and building relationships over time. Nancy, what do you think?
I think the hardest part about it is the differentiation. I think there's been such a huge, huge exponential increase in social media the past few years, obviously. And as more and more people are figuring out how to use it and figuring out how to use it to their, you know, business advantage, it's becoming increasingly difficult for people to find a way to, you know, stand out. I mean, how many yoga Instagram accounts are there that we, like, what else do we need to see, you know? What else do we need to hear from people on Twitter? So that's definitely, for me anyways, the hardest part. It's just figuring out your voice and unique content that hasn't been heard or regurgitated a million times over.
I get it. I totally get it. And you're right about that. There are thousands of people out there who are yoga instructors on Twitter. How many yoga instructors are there on Twitter now, or on Twitter, on Instagram now, or on YouTube, or even on Facebook, who are demonstrating, for example, ways to teach yoga to developmentally challenged kids? Right?
See, that's unique. That
exactly. That's exactly the point, right? How many yoga instructors are there out there now who are on YouTube demonstrating how yoga can be of value to veterans returning from Iraq with serious injuries?
Right.
Right? So all of us have talent, and we know, and if we're lucky enough, if we're fortunate enough, and we've done enough soul searching, we know what that talent is. What you need to do is you need to find a way to develop talent so that it's interesting to other people and it helps you start a conversation. So if you're a talented yoga instructor, you think of some of the unintended consequences of yoga. Well, it helps improve focus. Great. So let's go take a handful of kids with ADD and let's teach them yoga and see what happens, right? And with their permission, with their parents' permission, let's record them. And if it works out well, we'll put it on YouTube and we'll talk about it. And maybe by doing that, we'll start a conversation with other people and that will help other people, right? I mean, that would be a way to use your talent as a yoga instructor to try and help improve focus in young people. And as long as it works well and you have everyone's permission, there's a happy byproduct. The happy byproduct is improved focus in these kids, and perhaps somebody will see the video on YouTube and it will help them improve the life of their kid. And that starts a really interesting conversation. So I think there are ways to differentiate yourself as long as you know you have that self-awareness, you know where your talent lies. If you're willing to go take that talent to a place that makes you, I mean, you're willing to, Star Trek, you're willing to boldly go where no one has gone before, right? Take your talent to a place where no one has gone before and you can differentiate yourself. I mean, it would be hard for me to come up with a mundane area that you couldn't differentiate yourself. I mean, for goodness sake, for years and years and years, I worked with lawyers and accountants and I help them differentiate themselves, okay? If I can do it with lawyers and accountants, I can do it with you. But, you know, my point is everybody has a unique ability. Everybody has talent. Leverage your talent in a way that makes you interesting, compelling, and you can start conversations. And that's what social media is all about. So speaking of social media, my friends, if you have a question, like the great question that Jackie asked us to kick off our show today, reach out to me. The three primary social media platforms that I'm on all the time, dozens of times each day, Facebook, The Dave Lorenzo, Twitter, The Dave Lorenzo, and Instagram, guess what it is? You got it, The Dave Lorenzo. Now, I post personal and business. I commingle it all together. It's everywhere. You're going to see business and personal stuff, Twitter and Instagram, especially. Instagram is a conflagration of my personal life and my business life. The Facebook page at The Dave Lorenzo is primarily business stuff. Occasionally some personal will creep in. Twitter is business personal. I talk about whatever you want to talk about. I talk about what interests me. That's more of a conversational platform for me. I even put some politics on there because I like to get into fights with people and see what they think. But you only have one life. So your business and your personal, combining the two, putting them both together, I think it makes you more interesting. And when you're more interesting, you're someone who I want to have a relationship with. When you're more interesting, you're someone I want to do business with, because there's plenty of boring people out there. I want to do business with people who are interesting. Any final thoughts, Nancy, before we wrap up for today?
Yes, I do have a final thought. What do you think is going to be the next best thing after social media? Or do you think social media will really just be the end all be all?
Wow, what a great question. You know, social media, I think the whole social from social media is going to go away. I think at some point it's just media. I think you're going to find that something like YouTube is going to be the preferred way people watch what we now call television shows. So the beauty of that is that you and I can have our own television show, and it may be more interesting than some of the stuff that's produced by Hollywood. So I think video is going to expand even more. I think real-time video is going to be something that is going to – it's already influencing the way we act, the way we behave. You can see today – and I was just having this discussion, and we should probably actually do an entire show on live video. I was just discussing how – this epidemic of African-American men in particular, but African-American people in the United States being shot, you know, just how I never realized how bad it was, how many people are shot because of inherent bias. And, you know, this has been, I've been exposed to this because of real-time video, because of Facebook Live video, because of Periscope, because of people videoing situations that come up where, I mean, we had one 2 months ago where, you know, an African-American man whose car broke down in the middle of the street, he's standing there and the police are approaching him with their guns drawn. You know, I'm white. My car breaks down in the middle of the street. Those cops are coming to me with a gas can and jumper cables.
Yep.
You know, they walk up to this gentleman with their guns drawn and he's shot and killed. Now, this happens a lot. This happens on average. It's after you know, after this being brought to my attention, this happens on average over 30 times a month. Now, I'm not saying how many, on average over 30 African-American men are shot by police each month. And this is something that is coming to the forefront now because of live video. So I think, you know, that's a very heavy, serious topic. And that's something that we as a country have to address. But an issue that serious coming to the forefront by live video demonstrates to us the power of this form of media. So my opinion is that all of us from a, you know, business perspective, which is, you know, which is serious to us from a day-to-day perspective of how we make our living, that's going to be, I think, the thing that we all start to focus on. So, you know, you get your box, you get your new shoes from Nike, right? My son, we just ordered my son cleats, baseball cleats. He gets his new baseball cleats. He's excited. We do a live video unboxing them, putting them on. How do they feel? Oh, they feel great. I'm running around. I feel terrific in them. He plays his first game. We do a live video of him wearing his Nikes, stealing second base, right? That is how, that's going to be the most powerful form of communication for
that's
people
an
who want to
sell. Right there.
That's exactly right. And you know what? It's 100 times more believable as an advertisement than, you know, a Just Do It commercial with, you know, Derek Jeter stealing second base. Because, you know, my kid's never going to run like Derek Jeter. I love him, but he's never going to be Derek Jeter, right? So, you know, the fact that these shoes are effective for an everyday kid, making him, you know, more effective at stealing second base, that resonates with me because I have a regular kid. I don't have Derek Jeter. So, you know, I think you're going to see stuff like that when it comes to social media. That's where people are going to go to figure out what makes the most sense to buy. You know, you're a grandmother. You want to buy a video game console for your kid. You don't know anything about video game consoles, but you wrote down, you know, PlayStation, Xbox, PSP. You know, you wrote down a bunch of names. what are you going to do? You're going to go to your Facebook page and you're going to post something. You know, has anybody bought any one of these for their kids? What do they really like for video games? Let me know. And your friends, your grandma friends are going to chime in as to what they bought. Then you're going to do a search based on those results you get, and you're going to see what? You're going to see testimonials, right? You're going to see reviews. You're going to see all this other stuff online. And then that's going to take you to a video of someone actually using the product and showing you how easy or how difficult it is to use. So now you've gone in the span of a 1 hour time period, or, you know, maybe to collect the information on Facebook, 24 hours or 48 hour time period, you've gone from knowing nothing about video games to getting the exact video game your grandchild wanted for him for the holidays. That's powerful. So I think, to directly answer your question, the social part of social media is going to go away. It's just going to become media. And that's going to be the way we make better decisions and all of our serious decisions about purchasing products and services. That's going to be the way we consume our media. You know, television shows are no longer going to be limited to specific days and times. We can watch whatever we want, whenever we want. We can search for products on demand on our phones while we're in a store or while we're in the dentist's waiting room. So I think the power of social media is here to stay. And I think it's going to be just another way for us to get the information we need when we need it.
I think also, just to add in my own little bit about it, virtual reality. I see that coming up more and more on my timeline. I think in the next 20, 30 years, that's going to be a huge game changer.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. Those of you who connect with me on Instagram, I'll go after this show, I'm going to post on Instagram a shot of my son at Fenway Park in Boston playing a virtual reality baseball game. Fenway Park has this great section underneath the right field bleachers where you can bring kids before or during the game, and they can put on this virtual reality headset. It's like a helmet with glasses, and you're actually on the field at Fenway Park with the real players while players are hitting the ball, throwing the ball, you're catching it. It is really, really cool. The next generation of that is putting you in an actual game. So you're standing next to the center fielder while the ball is hit during the live game. That to me is amazing. But the possibilities of that, you want to go to a resort, let's say, and you want to go to a resort in Mexico, and you've never been to this place in Mexico before. You can put on the virtual reality glasses, go to their website, and guess what? You're standing on the beach, their beach in Mexico, looking around, turning 360 degrees around, actually experiencing what it will be like when you go there. That's fantastic. So I love virtual reality. I think you're right. I think there's a lot of really good stuff on the horizon with that. All right, folks, that'll do it for this episode. We look forward to seeing you right back here next week. Remember, reach out to us on Facebook at The Dave Lorenzo, on Twitter at The Dave Lorenzo, and Instagram, of course, at The Dave Lorenzo. That'll do it for this week's episode of the 60 Second Sales Show. Reach out to me with your questions, comments, and feedback on Facebook at The Dave Lorenzo, Twitter at The Dave Lorenzo, Instagram at The Dave Lorenzo. Walking down the street, just yell at me, "Hey, that's The Dave Lorenzo." Thank you very much for listening. I hope you make a great living and live a great life. Until next time, bye-bye.